All right. Thank you, young folks. We forget to do that sometime. We got to remember he gives us that promise that he cares for us, and it's very real. All right. Tonight we have the treat having Brother Jim Morgan stopping by, our missionary out of our church to Romania. His reason for being here, of course, is his son's having to go for a procedure. Nathaniel now is in college, but he had that first couple of surgeries, I believe, on his heart when he was just a year old. Maybe Jim will tell us a little bit about that tonight, but we're glad Brother Morgan's here. We're going to ask him to come share a report, and then he's got to start traveling right away to get on out to Arkansas or wherever it is that they're going to the hospital there. Good to see you tonight.
Brother Carter, it's good to be here again. We appreciate the church so much, and we know that you pray for us, and we just love you folks, and it's always good to come back. Just a little report on Nathaniel. Last spring he had an MRI, and they decided that he's missing a valve in his heart, and every once in a while it pumps and it sucks. You know, if you're missing a valve and it's collapsing one of the arteries that go into one of his lungs. So they want to do a catheter and put a stent in that artery. And that is to kind of tide him over for another couple of years until they can put the valve into his heart. They took the valve out when he was 1 year old, and he's been able to get by for 25 years. So we're just praying that everything will work out. We've had a couple of things come up in the process of it. My insurance won't pay for it. And so they said, well, if your insurance is not going to pay for it, why don't we just do them both all at one time in a couple of years? And then they called back and said, no, we can't do that because that lung is going to collapse. So we're just going to go ahead and do it, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. I'll play for it for the rest of my life if that's what we got to do. Amen. But the Lord's good to us on that. And I already had booked the flights, and we'd already made all the arrangements. So we just, the Lord's good. That's going to work out. So we leave. I got in last night from Romania, flew into Miami, booked a car, come up here. It's cheaper for me to rent a car, come up here and drop it off at Orlando than it is for somebody to come down there and back. So we just took care of that today. But tomorrow I go back to Sanford, fly from Sanford up to Lexington, Kentucky. Then Saturday we drive to Arkansas. Monday he'll have his procedure, and we'll spend the week in Arkansas. And Lord willing, he'll be in good shape to be able to get back into school the following Monday. We'll have to see about that. But pray for him. Pray for a speedy recovery. We're praying that they don't have to do the catheter through the femoral artery, that they'll be able to do it through his arm. It'd be a lot less restrictive on him for recovery. Ministry's been going pretty good. We've been doing a lot. The month before we left, I re-sided the church with vinyl siding, American-style vinyl siding. They started selling that, and I got to looking. I said, you know, I can do that. This stuff with concrete and all that other stuff, I can't do. So me and my son Samuel put all the vinyl siding on the church. If you want to see a picture of it, I got a picture in my phone, so I'll show off my handiwork. Amen. Pray for our church. We're trying to get things ready for the winter. The heating system's disconnected. As soon as I get back, I got to get the heating system hooked up to it. So we'd ask that you pray about that. We're excited about some young people that have been coming. We're still keep praying. Those of you who get my prayer letter, my big prayer for the next year or so is that God would send us a young man that I can train for the ministry there. A young man that we can. Over the years, I'm going to mention something about that. If you would, open your Bibles quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be quick. I'm well aware that this is a school night and things need to be done, so I'll only preach for an hour or so. No, I'm aware of that. But I would like to bring out something that's been a blessing for me over the last few weeks. I was just in a conference. I preached in a European Mission Possible retreat, and I was one of the speakers, and they gave us all a portion of this passage of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's add to your faith, and it's all these things that you add to the thing that you just added, that you just added to the thing that you just added. And I see a progression here. My part was knowledge. I don't know why they called on me. They called on the really fat guy to do temperance. And he preached before me. I don't know why. And boy, he preached a good message. I had to get right with God before I could preach. But he preached on temperance, and they called on the really dumb guy to preach on knowledge. So there must be a method to the madness. Amen? But the verse, you find it here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me get there. And verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole passage. You've read it before. You know what's there. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight to be a blessing and an encouragement. And may I provoke somebody to learn to know, to get the right kind of knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the beginning of it all is faith, right? Yes, sir. We talk about getting saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What was the gift of God? Where does faith come from? Hearing. And hearing by? Amen. So God's given us a gift. Amen. We've got a Bible. And I'm kind of the persuasion that God gave me the whole Bible. And it's right here in my hands. It's called a King James Bible. You know, the only group of people that believe that they have a Bible that they can hold in their hand are King James Bible believers. Did you know that? These other ones say it's somewhere. But ask them to show you a copy of it, and they can't do it. Well, it's in the originals. Well, get me a copy of the original. Amen? But we have a treasure. We have a great gift. And if you've been around this place very much, I talked to the Old Testament survey students, and I you know, just wanted to make sure they understood that this is a King James only place. And we actually believe that we can hold in our hands and we can read a perfectly preserved and inspired Bible, every word of it. But you know, we get saved. And then when we get saved, we're the first things that begin to show up in a genuinely saved person's life are some virtues. These are a changed life. You know, the things that I thought were virtues before I saved turned out to be sins. And the things that I thought were crazy whenever I was lost turned out to be good things. And you know, you get a freshly saved person and you watch them. They're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I mean, they'll do anything. I read a testimony of a preacher that is in DeLand, Florida. And he talked about how after he got saved, he was so mad at the Catholic Church after he got saved because they didn't tell him how to get saved. He was, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what he said, okay? All right? But he was so mad at the Catholic Church that he went down to the Catholic Church one night and put cigarettes in Mary's fingers. He said he was kicked out of 3 churches before there was finally one that would keep him. He began to display some virtues. And one of the virtues is zeal, amen, for God. I remember not too long after I got back in church and started serving God back in 1980, I called up my mom and I began to talk to her about the Lord, and I began to weep and to cry, and my mom thought I'd gone crazy. I'd joined some kind of a crazy cult. I got to Little Rock, Arkansas, and I got into church, and I felt like God had called me to preach, but I didn't have any to preach, so I went down to Asheron University in Little Rock, Arkansas, and stood on the street corner and yelled at cars as they went by. And I realized that that wasn't very effective, so I got a really good idea. I figured I'd just start preaching in front of bars. I mean, that's where the sinners are at, amen? And then I said, you know what, these guys, one night I was preaching in a bar, in front of a bar, and the Catholic priest came out and was going to straighten me out. You know, I just wanted to tell somebody about it. I mean, and I didn't always do it right. One night, it was around midnight, I had a bunch of the young, the preacher boys out with me, and we were going from one bar to video arcades to places where teens hang out, and my preacher got a call about midnight and said, you better come corral this guy in. He's about to get himself killed. Sometimes the virtues are great, but you know where to add to virtue something. We're to add knowledge. There's got to be a little bit of knowledge added to that to keep you from doing some crazy things that probably ought not to have been done. I don't know that putting cigarettes in Mary's mouth or in her fingers was such a great idea. But instead of that first church kicking him out of the church for doing it, maybe the pastor should have took a Bible and showed him if it wasn't right to do that, do something else. And so we need to add knowledge to the virtue, to the zeal, and to the unbridled passion that we have. There needs to be some knowledge. Now, there's good knowledge and there's bad knowledge. Don't you know that?
Yeah.
Eve saw that the tree was good, beautiful to look at, good to make one wise. He says, the devil said that God knows that if you eat of this, that you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil. And so Paul said, knowledge puffeth up.
Yeah.
We can become pride. I told the students, one of the biggest sources of pride for any individual is somebody that learns another language. Man, it's really cool when nobody knows what you're saying, you're just saying all kinds of bad stuff about them. Or you're having a conversation and they can't understand what you're saying and you're sitting there, yeah, isn't this cool? And they'll brag on you and say, man, I could never learn another language like that. But you know, the worst kind of pride is the guys that go to some school that teaches them Greek and they think they got it all figured out.
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up. I was in a service and this guy had just graduated from Bible college and they let him preach. And all he did was, it was hard. All he did was tell us what the Greek meant. He told us all about John chapter. You know what chapter I'm talking about. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And agape and all these other words like that. You know what? It just says what it says.
Amen?
He was grieved that Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? He didn't say he was grieved that he asked him once, do you love me like a friend? And then once, did you love me like a with deep godly love? He didn't do that. He says he was grieved that he asked him three times. So he must have asked him three times if he loved him.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Knowledge puffeth up. And we get another thing knowledge can do, it can derail us. You know what the saddest thing I see? It's when people who have been called to serve God and are involved in the ministry get sidetracked after some little tidbit of knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
I know a guy that a great pioneer in the field that he's in is in missions, and yet he's sidetracked with biblical archaeology. And now his ministry sits on hold in many cases or is diminished because we dissipate our time in other pursuits of knowledge. Not anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with sports, but if you know more about your football team than you know about the Bible, and you got more statistics about your favorite baseball team than the statistics in the Bible, I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sad thing that we can take the precious time that we got with the precious Word of God and we'll dissipate it in some other ways. And not everything is, it's not evil, it's not bad, but man, there's so much here.
Come on.
Our ministries get derailed and sidetracked because that little flashy, shiny thing over there, you know, we can't maintain our attention. Our attention span's too short. And so knowledge, but there is a right kind of knowledge.
Amen.
Amen. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 3. Go to verse number 8. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That I may... Okay, you want some knowledge? You'll never go wrong by learning about Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, we want to learn about all kinds of stuff. I mean, we got the itchy ear syndrome. Is that not right? And it's a sign of the days that we live in that we want to learn about this and we want to learn about that. But what about, let's just learn about Jesus. Amen? Well, I read this book, and I know this. No, let's learn about Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to stand before God one day and Jesus tell you at the judgment seat of Christ, you just learned too much about me.
Right.
In the book of Proverbs, go there real quick, chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2. And verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We place a lot of value on certain things. You know, in Romania, we have people, they'll borrow money from all their family members. They'll go out and they'll work in the fields and for just nothing and take that money and go without and put that together until they get about $120 together so they can buy a bus ticket to go to England or buy a bus ticket to go to Germany or buy a bus ticket to get up to Sweden so that they can make money. You know, of all the people that I know that have left Romania to go into the West, I don't know of any of them that went to seek Jesus Christ. But he says here, this is the same way the Romanians that left Romania to seek their fortune and to seek a better life, that's the same way we ought to be seeking the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ. Hey, how much effort and how much expense have you put into trying to get to know Christ better? Oh man, I'm not going to buy that Bible. It just costs too much.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down and buy one of them Walmart Bibles that lasts about 3 weeks if you use it right. No, I'm not going to get one of those good Bibles that you can write in the margins. They cost too much. That's $120 right there. I ain't going to spend that much on the Word of God. Now I'm going to just go down and I'll get one of those gift Bibles from the church. Now I'm not going to read my Bible if it costs me something. I'm not going to... you know what? My only free day... is Sunday, and that's just asking a lot for me to come on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know I'm preaching to the crowd here, but maybe there's somebody out on the radio that's laying out on Sundays. when they could be here.
Yes.
How much are you willing to invest in knowing Jesus Christ?
Amen.
See, that's you're asking an awful lot. I gave the guys in the Old Testament survey class a way they can read their Bible through four times a year. I try to do that myself. I don't think it hurts you to read it that many times. And it really doesn't take that much time, about an hour a day. Is that too much to invest in getting to know Jesus Christ? You know, a lot of our problems and a lot of our worries and a lot of our stress in life would be relieved if we just knew Jesus a little bit better. If we could just learn to lean and rely on Him, because we know He never fails. We hear it all the time, but maybe we ought to see it face to face. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I love the English language. You can't say that in Romanian.
Yeah.
You either have to say learn about me, or you have to say learn from me. You can't say learn of me, because in English it means both.
Amen.
You can learn of him, about him, and you can learn of him, from him.
Amen.
You know what? You want rest for your soul? Learn about Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we need knowledge. The knowledge is what gives purpose to the virtues that we've been given after we got saved. The knowledge gives us the basis for adding the temperance later on that controls our life to keep us from becoming angry people, or from becoming foolish people, or from becoming gluttonous people, from becoming greedy people. See, that's the basis for our temperance. Listen, knowledge is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
If you seek after the right kind of knowledge.
Yeah,
man, I don't want to try to impress anybody. I just want to know Jesus.
Yeah,
if I know Jesus and he knows me, which I want him to, he knows me.
Yeah.
If I know him, I know that everything's going to be all right. Even if everything's going wrong, everything's going to be all right. Man, worst thing that can happen is I just go get to be with him a little bit sooner. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had together. Thank you for my church. I love my church. Thank you for the support they've been to me over the years as friends and as supporters and as prayer warriors for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us tonight. And if nothing else, help us to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. You heard the message tonight. The truth is, we want to learn about everything except the main thing sometime. The book of Daniel predicts our day and age when knowledge would be increased. Many run to and fro. And sometime we might even be running after good things, but they cost us the best, and the best is the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the things that you put your time into, learning and drawing closer to Him is the most important. Could be you're here tonight and you've slipped back on your time with the Lord. Something else has crowded in. Invitation tonight might be to us believers here. If you're here and you're unsaved, we'll be so glad if you come. We'll take a Bible, show you how to be saved. That's the greatest knowledge in the world, is to know salvation in Christ. But if God's spoken to your heart tonight, you need to come to the altar or bow your heart where you're at. We'll ask Brother Cruz to lead us an invitation song, and whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Have thine own way.